Would you turn to Genesis chapter 41, please? Now, we're in part 7 this morning on our story of Joseph's journeys. And this one is called His Time, His Way, and His Heart. His Time, His Way, and His Heart. Now, we followed the history of a God-destined and God-called young man of 17 years old who had dreams from God. He had a favored status with his father. He had a powerful destiny that God had birthed in his heart and spirit. But in his life, if you're familiar with the story of Joseph, you discover that it took him years to get to that dream. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 tells us he learned, Jesus speaking of, he learned humility through the things he what? Humility comes if we respond correctly to the dealings of life, doesn't it? How many ever been dealt with by God through life situations and circumstances? If you respond right, instead of getting bitter, instead of getting angry, which our first response, I'll speak for myself, which my first response is often at frustrations, you stop long enough and you go, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me here? And there's usually something powerful that he can teach me or train me on the way. And Joseph has an amazing life journey, and he parallels, if you're aware of it, so many aspects of Jesus. He's an incredible type, one of the best types in the scriptures on the life of Jesus. He obeys his dad to go visit his brothers who don't want him. How many remember that the scripture says in John 1 verse 11, Jesus came unto his own, but his own received him not. They put him in a pit. They sell him, Joseph that is, to merchants passing by, who then sell him to, the name is pronounced actually, Potiphar, but we call him Potiphar. A 17-year-old kid was rejected by those who were supposed to be his family. Yet Joseph continues to serve and learn and grow. Now, timelines, if you do study and research, timelines will suggest to you and suggest and teach us that he probably was or could have been in Potiphar's house for 10 years before he was actually pursued lustfully by Potiphar's wife. All in that house under Potiphar was under his control and watch except for Potiphar's wife. And Joseph tried so hard to stay clean. She began to pursue him. And what did he do? He ran so hard, so fast the other way, he left his cloak there. So she hatches a plan that she's going to accuse him of rape. So Potiphar comes home. She accuses him. He becomes furious. But interestingly, if you understand the history and the culture, he's not so furious as to kill Joseph, which would have been his right for a leader like that, and to have his wife suffer an attempted rape. He throws him instead in what's called really a state jail or a state prison, in which famous or well-to-do or high-up political prisoners find their way. It's said, and probably is, that Potiphar understood his wife had been involved in such activity like this before, and undoubtedly he knew what really was the root of the story. He didn't destroy Joseph's life, but he did put him in prison. And when you're in prison, you're in prison. You go where somebody else tells you to go, you do what somebody else tells you to do, and you're not on your own. But Joseph rises to the top, gets favor again, and the jailer puts everything under his watch and his control. And Joseph continues to serve and to learn. Consider, just even administratively, the things that he learned under Potiphar. Consider, just administratively, the things that he learned overseeing the jail and the prison. God knows how to prepare us for the responsibilities he'll give us. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
He knows how to prepare us. So, two of the lead servants of Pharaoh then get thrown into jail. And they're put under Joseph's control. Two of the lead servants, and then 3 days, they were probably in jail for a year, by the way. 3 days before they're to be released, each of them, the Bible says, has a dream in the night. They wake up in the next morning, they're completely troubled, they don't understand it, they don't know what it's going to mean, and Joseph walks in and sees that they're downcast, and they're agitated. The Hebrew literally means they're roiling and boiling with agitation. They don't know what it means. And Joseph said, well, tell me the dream. God interprets dreams, and they tell him the dreams, and Joseph gives them an interpretation that proves to be 100% accurate. The cupbearer, or the main guy who was a trustworthy ally of Pharaoh, will be raised up again in 3 days and returned to his position. The butler who prepared the food, now both the cupbearer and the butler had opportunity to destroy Pharaoh if they wanted to. You understand that? They could have destroyed him. They could have slipped something in. They could have killed him. So they had to be completely trustworthy and loyal. But the baker is going to lose his life in 3 days. The dreams come true exactly as Joseph has declared. And so what does Joseph do? Remember, what does he do with the cupbearer? Turns to him and begs him. What does he do?
Remember me to the
Pharaoh. Remember me to the guy in charge. He doesn't go into a lot of debt. He says, I don't belong in jail. I've been sold here. I don't belong here. Get me out. Yeah. And what does the Bible say happened?
He forgot.
Now, can I ask you a question? Do you think, if you were afraid your head was going to be sliced from you and taken away, and all of a sudden this guy interprets your dream and it comes to pass exactly as you think, you go right back to your position, trustworthy cupbearer. Do you think you would forget what happened? Well, five of you don't think you would. The rest of you are going, ah, it's a trick question. This is a story problem. No. I don't think I'd forget, but he forgot. Now, it's possible that in light of being restored and being rejoicing and being back in Pharaoh's good graces, it's possible everything else could have been blanked out. You know, that happens sometimes. But nevertheless, the Bible tells us that he forgot Joseph. Genesis 40, verse 23, the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. And that Hebrew means he mislays him. He becomes oblivious of Joseph. All things in God's time. All things in His time. As we experience life and the training time that we occur or that happens in our lives, we wear as kids growing up, and some kids are here today, sometimes it seems like a yoke is put on us or a discipline is put on us and we don't enjoy it. And somebody else is in charge and we're at somebody else's beck and call. Come on, were you ever like me going, I can't wait till I'm in charge? Right? Isn't that what it's on? It's a song. I can't wait till I'm in. You ever think that? I can't wait till I'm in charge. I would do it this way. Sometimes people never get the chance. They're stunted by bitter envy and fury. Some learn humility and life lessons, and they learn lessons that keep them the rest of their life. I was having coffee. I took somebody out for coffee the other day, and this gentleman probably was in his upper 70s. And we sat and talked for an hour and a quarter, and it was story after story after story from him of what he had learned from his father and his mother. Lessons that were crystal clear to him as if they had happened just the other day. And they weren't all pleasant stories. They were life lessons. You know what I mean. Anybody ever learn life the hard way? Turn to each other and say, you're a sinner, aren't you? No. Turn back to each other and say, sinner saved by grace. That's right. But we do learn sometimes that way. But he was mentored by someone. And then you turn around as you grow and mature in life and you mentor someone else. Now, here's Joseph, forsaken, possibly, probably feeling like a forgotten man. Surely he's got to wonder if God had forgotten him. He's had his dreams and he must have wondered if his dad forgot about him. His dad and his brother that he was closest to, and he probably longed to get back home, have some sort of normal family life, and he never did. The parallels between Joseph and Daniel in the book of Daniel. Remember, Daniel goes into Babylon and as a teenage boy, and nobody in Babylon can interpret the king's what? Remember? Dreams. Until Daniel comes along full of the Holy Spirit, and God is the interpreter of dreams. But people demand today happiness. I don't want a problem. If I have a problem, I want it solved instantly. I want my circumstances to change, and that being yesterday, God. How many know that's the root of most divorces that take place? I want you to be different, and I want you to be different a year ago. And how many understand that in most dealings in life, the Lord is changing us, not the other party? Come on, this is out. Should we close now and everybody come to the altar? Man, I mean, that's the reality. The reality is, if I'll stop being agitated and stop long enough to say, okay, Lord, what do you want to show me? There's usually something He's working out in me. And if I'll change, there's more patience with the other person. You understand, we can't control the other party. We can only affect our attitude as we embrace the Lord. So we need to bloom where God plants us instead of demanding God change our circumstances. The men and women in the DVD ended up learning a lot of hard lessons in life going somewhere else that they ever thought they'd ever have to go. And a lot of our men and women in the military, they were interred, and their graves are in foreign soil. They never got a chance to come back home. But I'm grateful for what they've done on our behalf, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. God has His ways. He prepares us for destiny and whatever He pleases, whatever He chooses. Isaiah 64, verse 8 says, "Thou art the potter, and we are the clay." So when we yield to His plan, He unfolds His purposes in His timing. Genesis 41, verse 1, a lot of scripture this morning. Then it came to pass at the end of how many years?
Two
full years that Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, he stood by the river. Come on, God, is this some sort of cruel joke? Are you kidding me? Can you imagine? I cry as I read this section of Scripture. I know what I go through when I'm frustrated. Can you imagine a weekend? You go, okay, you know, the cupbearer, I know his life is full, his plans are full, and I'm sure he hasn't had a chance to talk to Pharaoh yet. 2 weeks in, I wish I'd get a note. I wish he'd text me. Or 2 months in, or a year in, and then you realize, I've been forgotten. But God knows how to do all things well. Someone say, all things well. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. He makes how many?
All
things beautiful in its time. You understand that if Joseph had been released early before this dream comes, he probably would have gone home to Canaan land and would have never been there to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. God does all things well. You just can't imagine what it might have taken, but I can see the heart of the Father saying, cease. I'm going to leave you there just a little bit longer. There's just a little more seasoning to be done. Not quite soup yet, cease. Can you imagine? That's what it's like, though. And you go, oh, come on, Lord. Can't we turn a corner? I've done that. Have you done that? God, can't this be over with yet?
Yeah.
And he says, honey, not until you stop being agitated. I'm not there yet. That's my point. So, all in his time. Number two, all in his way. Say it with me, would you? All in his way. It seems sometimes God has funny ways of getting you where you need to go, and how you need to get there. Verses 2 through 7. Now, you have your text open in front of you. I'm just going to summarize it. But in verses 2 through 7, Pharaoh has how many dreams? He has two dreams. And he has a dream that there are seven very healthy cows, plump cows, coming up out of the river, and they are feeding. Then seven terrible, gaunt, horrible-looking cows come up out of the river and eat them. Sounds like one of the nightmare horror flicks you could get today on a DVD. But he's seeing this unfold in front of him, and he's agitated. He's troubled. Wouldn't you be? Wow, that was a bad leek or garlic I had last night. That was lousy. But he's got this thing. Now, a little history. So you understand, the Nile would overflow its banks. And it was a very arid country. Egypt still is. They would maybe get an inch of rain each year. So they were always in drought conditions based on rainfall. But the Lord saw to it that the Nile would overflow. And then when it would recede, it would leave some of the richest agricultural land in the world. And they were one of the finest bread baskets for the entire known world at that time. And the cows literally would go into the river to cool down from the heat and get rid of the flies. So that's why they see them coming up out of the river. It was a common vision or a common occurrence that would happen. But it wasn't common that the sickly, terrible, gaunt cows would eat the well taken care of cows. Another dream comes. Seven heads of grain, plump, good grain. They're grown. Then, following them, seven blighted heads of grain come up. And the bad grain devours the good grain. Man, you would think you were pursued if you went back to sleep and dreamed a second dream like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you can just almost see big chomping teeth, you know, going after you here. Pharaoh's magicians and his wise men could not address these to interpret them. Now, again, some culture and some understanding. In ancient Egypt, the magical arts and witchcraft and things like that were all over the place. They have found thousands of artifacts and amulets and things on which they would curse and send curses on other people. And there was a difference in their culture between bad magic, black magic, and white magic. And so those who did some of the darker magic were called the magicians. And those who did the lighter stuff were called the wise men. And so they were counselors, and he'd call them in. How many know they needed God?
Yes.
They needed God. And so God put a man there to show them God. No one could interpret these dreams, just like the king in Daniel's day. Nobody had the answers. So God always throws the ball just a little bit farther than us. You ever notice that? If God wants to bring you to himself, he always stretches you with a need that's just a little bit bigger than what you can answer. That's frustrating, isn't it? I need an answer. I don't get this. You know, you're well trained. I got a college degree and I can't even do my remote control. Okay, just something to relate to. Anyway, so, but God allows the needs of our lives to be more than what we can handle sometimes. Why? What do you think he's doing? He's saying, "Yoo-hoo, come on, kill it." Just like a little kid taking a step, you know. And so we're walking after God and go, "Come on, come on." And sometimes we do what the little kid does. We fall down and cry. And God says, "Keep coming. Keep coming. Just beyond us." And he tells us, "Son or daughter, I've got you. I'm holding you," just like we heard prophetically this morning. Good words in the Lord and helpful to us. "I'm here, no matter how difficult it is. Come to me." He knows what he's doing. The song that we've talked about before, Carrie Underwood sang, "Jesus, take the wheel." We need to let him do that. Genesis 49, verses 9 through 13. So Pharaoh tells the dream, and then what happens? Then the chief butler speaks to Pharaoh, saying, "I remember my faults this day." Yeah, you think? "I remember my faults this day, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each had a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there." He's much older now. That's a little joke. Threw that in. That wasn't in the scriptures there. "He was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him." The Hebrew literally means in here, "I remember my crime. I remember my penalty this day." All things in God's way and all things in God's time. Today, I remember. I wonder why today. Why today of all days? Lord, what are you doing? How come you won't answer? I'll just keep serving you here in this prison. No matter what it's like in life, Lord, I'll just keep serving. And I've got to trust you to do all things well in your time. And then God can do something. He's a young Hebrew man, literally means a boy, a servant, a slave. He opens up and interprets our dreams. And as he said, so it was. So should we speak when we encourage others. All in his heart. All in his way, all in his time, all in God's heart. And now in a moment, in a heartbeat, Joseph's life changes forever. Say that with me. Joseph's life changes forever. Genesis 41, verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, he changed his clothing, and he came to Pharaoh. He sent and he called for him. And literally, the Hebrew, the whole tenor is like they're running down the hall to go get Joseph. The Pharaoh's got a dream he doesn't know what to do with. Come on, Joseph, come on, quick. And on the run, he has time to shave, and he changes his clothes. Now, that may sound insignificant, but culturally, the Hebrews grew their hair, grew their beards. The Egyptians, ancient Egyptians, as you've seen them, had very clean-shaven persona. And so he had to fit in with the culture of the day, and he puts off his prison clothes, and now he had clean clothes on, probably for the first time in about 13 years or at least the time that he's in prison. He's not wearing the clothes of a slave and a prisoner, and more transformations are going to come. But this, literally, this is a crucial point. This marks a change for Joseph's life. We've been 6.5 weeks telling the story of one dramatic event after another dramatic event after another one where God's working with him and molding him and changing him and growing him. And all of a sudden, God says, it's now. There's a scripture that says, I have behaved and weaned myself like a quieted child. And when God gets the breakthrough in us, God can bring a breakthrough in life. I can't promise you situations and circumstances will change. I can promise you if we'll respond to Him, we will change in the circumstances. It all sounds, you guys, this all sounds like it was incredibly hasty. But do you understand this event was 13 years in the making? When you put your life into Jesus' hands, He knows your time. And oh yes, Jesus cares. He sees. He knows. He knows how to release you in His time. Genesis 41, 15 and 16. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream. There's no one who can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And watch what Joseph does. I love this. Say out loud with me verse 16. Right up here if you would, please. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Listen to it out of the message. Not I, but God. God will set Pharaoh's mind at ease. J. Vernon McGee said, this is just like a resurrection. Joseph, like Jesus, is now resurrected and he goes to the Gentiles. And what are the first words of Joseph to this head of the state? He's been sold. He's been thrown into the pit. He's been in Potiphar's house. He's been rejected from Potiphar's house. He's been in jail. He's been forgotten. And what are the first words out of his mouth? Not I, but God. Not I, but God. God can take care of it. He's still encouraging another person, saying God can take care of you. God knows how to answer you right where you are, no matter what your need is this morning. Yes. Jesus sees you, knows you, understands the depth of the cry of your heart, and knows exactly how to meet you right where you are. You look up at Joseph and you go, man, you got to be hurting. How can you keep, after 13 years, you're still giving life away? Isn't that what God calls us to do?
Yes.
Everyone in this room has your own story. has your own need, has your own pain. And yet God calls us to be there to help somebody else, to strengthen somebody else. I mean, you can look at me all day long and say, Pastor Kev, don't lay hands on me. You have no problems in your life. I don't want your hands laid on me. I say, yeah, well, you're in this too. Come on, let's pray. No, isn't that where life really is? And as we care and grow, and we help one another on the journey. Joseph, after 13 years, after probably 3 years in prison, is saying to Pharaoh, God can do it. I still know God's big. God loves you, and God can do it. Hasty. They went and got him in haste. He'd been waiting around for 13 years. It's powerful, you guys. He could have said, Pharaoh, before we get to your dream, let me tell you about mine. I had a dream. I know what you're going through. I got a dream. Hasn't come to pass. I get it. He didn't do that. He said, my God knows how to meet every need. Romans 8:28. And as we know, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Pat, thank you. I forgot the one just ahead of it. Psalm 105, verse 19 is where these words are. Until the time that His word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him out of the new living. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. And then we believe that all things work together for good to those who love him. See it out of the message. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 3. He's made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. He's put a destiny inside, a plan to fulfill out of the new living. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He's planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. The message continues to be, put your trust in Jesus. No matter what you're going through right now, no matter what you're experiencing, put your trust in Jesus. He loves you. His heart is for you. And He does all things well. All things. In His way. His time. And His heart. Listen, out of Mark 7, a little story as we close. Verses 32 through 37. Then they brought to him, to Jesus, one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it, and they were astonished beyond measure. Please say the phrase with me, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Now let me tell you what today's people would do. They would pick up and write and then produce a book and a seminar, have people all across the country in, and they would practice spitting on your tongue and put their fingers in your ears, and they'd quote this word over and over again, expecting this to bring all the healing you ever need. Smile. We think we can bottle it up, but the point of the scripture is not that. It's that He does all things well. That's what God showed him to do. And if the Lord shows you to do that, practice on your neighbor. Don't come and spit on me. But God does all things well. Come on, say it with me, church. God does all things well. Say it again. God does all things well. In His way. In His time, in his heart. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to you and you have a need for which you need prayer, we'd be honored to pray for you. If you've never surrendered your life to this precious Jesus who loves you so much, we urge you to do so. If you need healing in your body, we're honored to pray for you as well. But above all, when you leave this place today, go encouraging one another. He's in charge. He loves you. He cares. And He does all things well. Say it with me again. He does all things well. Amen.